you. Let's hold up our Bibles and jump into the Word today. You know, there's an old song we used to sing, "Everything Gonna Be All Right." If I could sing it, I'd sing it for you, because I'm telling you, everything gonna be all right. This is the Word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I'm on week 4 of the message series, I'm Not Blank Enough. Now, I had planned to end it today with this sermon, but unfortunately, because of Mother's Day and because of Pastor Eric's departure and us having these extra steps in service, I have to cut the message short. So I'll actually end this message next week. So this is part 1 of 2. So you don't want to miss next week. Plus, next week is a really important day. What is it? I was so disjointed. I couldn't. Let's do it all in unison. Right. Crawfish and jumpy things for kids and snowballs. And somebody said, how much does it cost?
Free.
Thank you, Caitlin, my sweet daughter. My little sweet daughter who's a mama. All right, week number 1 of the series entitled I'm Not Blank Enough. I talked about the phrase I'm not good enough. And I want you to remember this. If you ever think the thought I'm not good enough to really be saved, I'm not good enough to be used by God, the fact is none of us are good enough in and of ourselves. Y'all write this on. But because of what Jesus did on our behalf, because of the cross, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he imputed to us, he gave us his righteousness. His righteousness made you good. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm good. Week number 2, I talked about the statement, I'm not smart enough. Have you ever thought, hey, you know what? There's just sometimes I just realize I'm just not smart enough. Anybody? Just me. I feel kind of lonely at this moment. All right, so me and these 5 people, the rest of y'all are like, no, I'm plenty smart, bro. I got high IQ. I'm good. Remember I said this, high ACT, SAT, or IQ does not inherently make you smart.
Amen.
Can you figure out the simple things in life? Can you solve problems and make decisions and stuff like that? You know, the Bible tells us, and I shared with you that week, that fools turn away from the things of God, but wise people, smart people, intelligent people run after God. And so I want you to know, just by the mere fact that you are running after Jesus, you are desiring a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, I want you to understand, by that fact alone, makes you smart. So 2 of you agree? Come on, I'm not going to pull this out of you all day. We talk here at New Beginnings. We can do this. All right, week number 3, the statement was, I'm not attractive enough. Anybody ever thought of just not pretty enough, not good looking enough? Golly, man, you're hard today, boy. The gist of that message is this, is we got to really, nothing wrong with dressing up, nothing wrong with looking good, but how about we pay a little more attention to what's happening on the inside than what's on the outside? Let's address the real issue. The real issue is, can I take care of the inside? You know, it's what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, you're like whitewashed tombs. In other words, you dress up the outside, but the inside, you're spiritually dead. We don't want to be spiritually dead. We want to be spiritually alive. I don't want people to notice me because I look good. I want people to notice the something in me that's the intangible. The thing that they go, I don't know what it is about you, but there's just something about you. I'm just drawn to you. Because it's the Holy Spirit in us that draws people to us. It won't be because you got nice shoes. Doesn't hurt. The reason that this series started to begin with is because we compare ourselves. And every one of us in this room, every one of us watching, has some part of ourselves that we don't like. Some part that we compare to other people and we go, well, they're better than me here, they're better than me there, whatever the case may be. And the fact is, we all have those pieces, but when we begin to find our real identity in Christ, those things kind of go away. Today is, again, as I said, the final installment or the second to last installment. And today we're going to talk about, I'm not deep enough spiritually. I'm going to tackle that statement. I'm not deep enough. Anybody in here, just be honest with me. You ever thought, I'm just not spiritually mature enough? Yeah. I'm going to say some things here. And this is kind of probably going to be a little bit stingy. But I promise you, I'm gonna pat you on the back when we're done. The church in America over the last 50, 60 years has been a place to gather lots of people, but not display a lot of power. Matter of fact, the church today in America has grown. There are some churches that are 50,000 and 30,000 and 20,000 and churches all over America growing and growing and growing. But and there are lots of people gathering, but not a lot of power displayed. We go into churches, we hear a sermon between 20 minutes and 60 minutes or so, and we walk out and nothing in our lives ever changes. That shouldn't be. If the truth is being preached, then there should be something in you that's changing. Here's the problem. Most of the time, that the person preaching the word of God throughout the world is as powerless as the people listening to the word. Not here. Now, here's the thing. Their foundations are built on shaky traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation with very little basis of truth. Like a lot of believers today, their messages are laced with truth. They have a little bit of truth in them, but not enough foundational truth to change anything. And I want you to know our messages should not be laced with truth. I don't want just a little truth. I want all the truth. I want the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Sometimes, let's be honest with you, when we come to church, sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth doesn't feel good to hear. But should we still have the truth? Yes. The people listening to these pastors spouting partial truths are no better. They rely on someone else's truth to be their entire nourishment of spiritual things each and every Sunday. And I've said this before from this pulpit, that if your only spiritual nourishment is happening on Sunday morning for 1 hour, you're going to be spiritually starving. Yes. I'm good, but I ain't that good. We all have to find a way to begin to self-feed. How many of you know a 40-year-old man that still sits at the table and his mama goes, all right, open up wide. Here you go. Come on, read. No, we would call that dysfunctional. But that's what we do spiritually. Come on, Pastor, feed me. Come on, I'm ready. Every one of us, that's why I asked you to bring your Bibles to church. If we talk about the Bible every week, I don't just ask you to bring your Bible as an exercise in futility. I ask you to bring it so you can highlight, underline, whatever you want to do to it, so you can go home and begin to read and study on your own. That's how real spiritual growth happens. You want to know how to be? I've had people say, well, you know, we're gonna leave this church or that church because we're not growing spiritually. Well, listen to me. If you're not growing spiritually, it ain't because of the pastor. If you're not growing spiritually, it's because you are not growing spiritually. I know that's stingy, but trust what I'm telling you. If you'll begin to open the book yourself, you have what it takes. Just like I have what it takes to begin to know and understand the Word of God. This is why I know that. Turn to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's preparing them. Now it's getting close to his crucifixion. And he is like saying, he's, you know, The time is getting close. He knows it's getting close. And he really begins to bear down and really begins to teach them. And they know he's talking about him. I'm going away. But this is what he says to them. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. This is what he says. But when he said, I'm going to leave you the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, right, is going to come. This is what he says in verse 13 of chapter 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he'll make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will receive from me what he'll make known to you. You see, the Holy Spirit in the life of a follower of Jesus is our teacher. And every one of us has the ability to learn and grow with God. Every one of us. You don't have to come to church. I shouldn't say that. Nobody will show up next week. And well, you said I didn't have to go to church. It is very important for you to go to church. But you certainly have the ability in and of yourself through the Holy Spirit to discern and to learn and to grow in the truth. Amen? More importantly, he also left us the ability to know him more intimately. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. Now, Hebrews chapter 8, there's a section of Hebrews chapter 8 where the writer of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, is talking to the church at Jerusalem about the new covenant. And what he says in this as part of the new covenant is, in verse 11, no longer will they teach their neighbor say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. And in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. If you've ever uttered the statement, I'm not deep enough spiritually speaking, that is, I have good news for you. God sent his son Jesus to die so that we would never have to be far off from God again. You could be as close to God as your heart desires because Jesus made the way for it to be so. And what he's saying is, hey, you're not going to have to tell your neighbor, hey, you need to know the Lord. He said, they're all going to know me. I want you to understand, the name Jesus in the entire world is known. When you go to any country in the world, and you may not speak their language, but I promise you say the word Jesus. They all know that word, many of them from a wrong standpoint, but nevertheless, they all know the word. And I want you to understand that word, the name Jesus, is a powerful thing, and he wants you, and he gave you the ability to know him intimately. You and I can have a relationship with Jesus in a moment. As a matter of fact, God desires it of every man on the planet, every boy, every girl, every human being on the planet. I want you to know those who call themselves Muslims or Hindus or the Chinese or the Japanese or whatever country they're from. I want you to know, many times we as Americans think that what Jesus is for us, it didn't even start here. It started in the Middle East. And so I want you to know, Jesus is for the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world, not just the United States. Matter of fact, we're probably last on the list. Now, I want to share with you a biblical story of a man whose life was changed in a moment. So if you would, turn to Acts chapter 9. And I want to tell you, this is what happens in the life, a life headed in one direction, usually away from God. And then that life encounters God, and everything changes in a moment. It's a radical transformation. This is the story of the Pharisee named Saul. Now, what happened with Saul is Saul had been raised his entire life to know the religion of his ancestors, to follow the religion of his ancestors. And he had been doing this since he was about 8 years of age. He knew his job. He knew his calling. He knew the priesthood like you and I know our names. I want you to understand that. And here it is. He said he just went to the chief priest and he got letters to go to the synagogue in Damascus because he heard there were some people there following this Jesus character. And he was going there to arrest them and to bring them back to Jerusalem and persecute them for doing something against Judaism. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And he went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me to you so that you may again be, you may see and again be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And at once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. A radical transformation on a life that was headed away from God. And as you, if your desire today is to grow spiritually, deeper and deeper and deeper, you must learn, I call them 6 lessons from the road. The first one is this. And I want you to understand, regardless of where you are spiritually at this moment in time, regardless of where you are spiritually yesterday, regardless of where you think you'll be spiritually tomorrow, listen to me, God can change your spiritual direction in a moment. I want you to understand, Saul had an encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was headed in one direction to do what he thought he needed to do, to persecute Christians, to arrest Christians, people who were following Jesus. And Jesus had another plan, and he knocked Saul off his horse to the ground and blinded him. I want you to understand, every one of us needs and should experience a radical transformation with God when we have an encounter. We need an encounter with Jesus. That encounter with Jesus will change the spiritual direction of your life in a moment. You may have decided to do things your own way. Anybody? I'm just going to do it my way. I'm going to go my way, do it my way, have it my way. I think Burger King says you can have it your way. I don't know about it anymore. They used to say you could have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders won't upset us. I don't know. They seem upset today when you order. No offense, Burger King, but, you know, we live in a world, and I've said this recently about our walk with God, we want a relationship with Jesus on our terms. I want to do it my way. I know what the Bible says, or I have an idea what the Bible says, but I still want to do it my way. If you could just wrap your head and your heart around this fact that if you just do it His way, it's so much better.
Amen.
Saul had an all of a sudden on a road experience. Every one of us needs an all of a sudden on a road experience. I had an all of a sudden on a road experience. I was actually on a road at an intersection. And the Lord had been speaking to me in a dream for a week. And on that road at that intersection, the Lord said, that dream you've been having is me calling you to come follow me. And I just said, all right, Lord, I'll follow. I don't even know what that means. Nobody told me, yeah, you got to pray the sinner's prayer. You got to do it this way. You got to, you know, bend your knee that way or you know, I didn't know what to do. I just said, Lord, I don't know who you are, but I will follow you the rest of my life. And God is looking for some of us who will just say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I'll follow you the rest of my life. My encounter with you has changed something, and I want to do it different. Saul had a plan. Jesus had another plan. Anybody got in here got a plan? So you young people, you probably got your, somewhere in a calendar somewhere, you got your 5-year plan, right? You got your 10-year plan. Well, at 10 years from now, I want to be here. I want to have this degree. I want to do this, have this job, this title, this amount of money in the bank. I want to have this kind of car. I want to have this house or live in this neighborhood. Saul had a plan. And his plan was altered that day on the road by an encounter with Jesus. The second lesson from the road that I want to share with you is this. God's plans, listen, and this is a hard one. God's plans will always be different than yours. But God, this is not my plan. This is not the way that I see things happening in my life. This is not where I want to go. It's not what I want to do. Not where I want to live. Not what I want to drive. Not. And you know what you're going to hear from God? Silence. Because God's plan, trust me, it's different, but it's better. And if we will just acquiesce, that means get out the way. If we'll just acquiesce and let God be God in our lives and do things His way, I promise you His plans are better. Saul was going to Damascus. I got a plan. I'm going to arrest these people. And by the end of the story, we read in Acts 9:20, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. I want you to know today you may leave here thinking, I want to do it my way. I have a set of plans. I want to live according to my plan. And then all of a sudden, because of your encounter with Jesus today, you may walk out of here and say, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to live your way. I'm going to do it completely different. This wasn't part of my plan, but it must be part of yours. And since it's part of yours, I'm going to do it your way. I don't believe I've ever seen my well-thought-out plans fulfilled while I followed the plan of God. Oh, I had some plans. But the moment God's plan entered the picture, I went, that's so much better. You know that when I talked a couple weeks ago about I'm not smart enough, when I deal with God, I think that literally moment to moment. I'm just not smart enough. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit lives in me and makes me smart. Because the Holy Spirit in me makes me want to do what you want me to do. And all of a sudden, I start looking smart. Yep, we're gonna buy this. We're going to do that. Man, Pastor Eddie, you got it going on. No, it ain't me. It's the Holy Spirit in me. I want you to understand the Pharisee named Saul had spent his entire life preparing and studying the religion of his ancestors. He had accepted what he believed to be the path of God that God wanted him to walk on. And he found himself face to face with Jesus. And all of a sudden, that face to face encounter with God and God's new plan changed his entire existence. I want to ask a question, and I don't need a show of hands, but I want you to internalize this question. If today God says, we're going to do things different, are you willing to say, let's do it? Or are you like, you know, I kind of like the way I'm going. I kind of like the path I'm on. I want you to come. I love you, Jesus, but I want, can you just sit in the back seat? Let me do the driving. I'm pretty good at this. Trust me, he's better. Third lesson from the road, we have to make our plans alterable. Are you willing to change the plan? Are you willing to alter your plan? Look, let me just tell you, Saul, the priest, had to literally alter his entire life and lifestyle because of this newfound calling of God on his life. I want you to understand, I literally had to alter my entire life and livelihood 22 years ago because of the call of God on my life. I was in business for myself. I was doing things one way, and God said, now I want you to come follow me in full-time ministry. I was like, what does that even mean? I don't even understand the I don't even understand the question. I don't even understand the statement. And God said, will you just come do it? I want you to understand, I believe that God's speaking to somebody in this place today, and he's saying to you, will you just come follow me? And you're like, I don't understand. I know, but will you step out and make the step of faith, make the leap of faith, and come and do what I've called you to do, even though you don't have the whole plan? We have to make our plans alterable. Will you take another route? Will you go a different way? Will you do things his way and not your way, because his plans are better? But we have to get to the place where the encounter that we had on the road, the encounter that Saul had, the encounter that I had, the encounter that you had on the road literally changed everything. Are you willing to alter your plans so that the plan of God can have first place? Would you stand with me? I believe God is saying to somebody in this place right now, it's time for your encounter. That's, yeah, God's saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, I've been speaking through this ball guy all morning, and this is the encounter. And the encounter is, now you've had the encounter, you realize that the plan that you've been hearing is my plan and it's different than yours, but here's my question, are yours alterable? Are you willing to change everything to follow God's plan for your life? If that's where you find yourself today and you say, you know, I realize I've had this encounter. I know your plans are different. I keep hearing it. I keep rejecting. La, la, la. And my wife used to tell a story when she was in Catholic high school. They said something about you either get the call to be a nun or you get the call to be single, or you get the call to be married, and she would go like this, la 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 la, la. I don't want that. All she wanted to hear was, I got the call to be married, so she could marry this. She's like, don't call me to be a nun. Thank God, God didn't call her to be a nun. So this morning, if you find yourself in that place where you know, you just realize things have to change. There's some things in my life that need to change. God is saying, will you come to the altar today and let Pastor Eddie pray over you so that you'll go out empowered by my spirit to do what I've called you to do? If that's you, would you come now? I want to pray for you. And as I said a little while ago, you guys that are still out there, reach your hands, put your hands out, and let's pray over these people. Heavenly Father, we find ourselves at a crossroad, on a Damascus Road moment in our lives. Maybe we're not literally knocked off of a horse, but we've been confronted. Confronted by you, Holy Spirit. And God, we're saying, okay, Lord, I don't see the whole plan. I am standing up here blind, and I'm not sure what's next. But I trust that you have the plan, and you have it securely, and I can trust you with that plan. And so today, Heavenly Father, as we decide that, yes, your plans are better, and yes, my plans are now alterable, I want to go where it is you want me to go, and I want to do it the way you want me to do it. Not going to fight against it anymore. I thank you, and we praise you for who you are. We thank you that you empower us. By your Spirit, you empower us to do the impossible, to do the unthinkable. And God, we will be, as the song we sang, we'll be content in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in because we know you're with us. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for the day ahead and the week ahead. Now walk with us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. We'll see you next week.